Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the fifth and final week of our series called The Offensive. And this week, Pastor Clay Finkley explains that if we want to finish well, we need to know God and serve God. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning and welcome to The Rock. How's everybody doing today? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, hey, if you don't know me, my name is Clay, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff. I just want to welcome you, whether you are here for the first time or you've been here for a long time. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is going to be a great time together, and if you didn't catch it earlier, if you are new here, make sure you stop by the Connect Corner after service today, as we would love to talk to you and get to know you and also just get connected with you and give you a free gift for being here as well, just as a way of saying thank you once again. And I'm really excited that you're here joining us today, because we're entering a really exciting season. We are finishing our series that we are calling The Offensive today, which has been an incredible series. I've absolutely loved it. I've seen a ton of people respond. I've seen a ton of people get teamed up. I've seen a lot of changes in myself as well. So it's been a great series. And I also am excited because next week we are having our big fall kickoff series called Live Again. And what's really great about that series is it lines up with the beginning of the college football season and the pro football season, which both kick off next week. And can I get an amen on that? Like, I mean, we're talking about college and pro football here. Like, what, we got to get more excited about that. Like, so it is going to be an awesome, awesome weekend, the start of a brand new series. And with that, we're going to encourage everybody, wear your favorite jersey to just kind of have some fun as a group. And with that, you're going to pick a favorite jersey, and you're going to generally have a favorite athlete that you're going to pick to go along with that. So, Tom. We're going to pause this preaching and have a moment of prayer real quick. You might wear Tom Brady if, like, you hate yourself. You would wear Peyton Manning if you think he's the best quarterback of all time. Maybe you're, like, a Emmitt Smith Cowboys fan, which I saw an Emmitt Smith jersey around here somewhere. There it is. Maybe you got a Steelers jersey or whatever, and you have your favorite players throughout the NFL history. And I got to say, my NFL favorite player right now is one that many people would not expect. It's this beautiful, beautiful big fella right here. Now, many of you have no clue who this man is. But this, yes, he does look like me. This is Quentin Nelson, left guard for the Indianapolis Colts. He is my favorite player in the NFL right now, not only because he's my spirit animal, he does look like me, but also because he just wants to eviscerate opposing players. He wants to finish them with everything he's got. Like, he destroys people when he's blocking them. And I could talk about that, or, you know what, let's just go through the film real quick. So let's go ahead and watch this video real fast of Quentin Nelson doing Quentin Nelson things. So watch him. Wha-bam! Right? Beautiful. Come see. Blinds. Bam! Over and over. This is just who he is. He hurts people, and I love it. This is a great pull. Finish the linebacker. Just, and he was mic'd up this game. This is him during a game. Like, I know we are at church, but we just went to offensive line church right there. Like, that was beautiful to me. And as a former offensive lineman myself, I love watching Quentin Nelson play, because he is just saying, you know what, I'm going to do whatever it takes to play during this play, and I'm going to finish this play every single time until the whistle blows. And I love that mentality, and it's such an important mentality. The mentality of being able to finish is a huge one when it comes to being on the offensive, especially in sports. You go to any practice ever, you're going to hear finish, finish, finish. You know, it's going to be finish a block, finish a golf swing, finish a baseball swing, finish a drive to the lane, finish a sprint. You hear it over and over and over again, because it is a key component to what the idea of being on the offensive is all about. And I believe it's the same way with our faith. I want that to be us on our faith journey, where we finish from the beginning of our lives to the end, our entire lives living it on the offensive from start to finish, so that we can win and we can help other people win as well. I want us to live our entire lives on the offensive until they finish, so that we can help people win. Many of us, though, we have a hard time finishing. I think about myself personally. Like, there's been lots of times in my life where I've been on fire for God, and I've been on fire for what he wants me to do, and it's just like, yes, this is great. Let's keep going, God. Let's keep going. And then all of a sudden, I get comfortable. All of a sudden, I get content. all of a sudden, I start to focus on myself. And the next thing I know, I've stopped this offensive mentality, and I've started to play defense. And if I had to guess, there's many of you in here that have gone through similar things in your life. And that's why I'm excited for us to learn how to go on the offensive together today. Because I really believe that we have to finish if we really want the entire life that God designed for us. So if you're a longtime faith member, this is going to be something that challenges you to keep going. If you just started, this is going to be a great way for you to help your mindset as you walk this journey out. And if you have no faith, if you're new here, maybe you're just wondering who God is in general, this is a great place for you to learn what a life following God actually looks like. So how do you finish on the offensive? There's two things you do. You know God, and you serve God. And these words aren't from me. These are words from David, who we've been talking about this entire series. And if you want to catch up on the entire series in David's life, you can jump on the app to do that and watch our past sermons. But this is David to his son in the middle of a massive transition moment in both of their lives. So just to tell the story real quick, David, he's at the end of his life now, and he's about to pass on the position of king to his son Solomon. And Solomon, he's about 20 years old. He's a young guy. He's talented. He's handsome. He has everything that you would want in a king. But that doesn't mean his job as king is going to be easy. He's actually going to have a pretty hard time because he is a young leader. But not only is he a young leader, he's about to undertake one of the biggest moments, the biggest projects in the history of the earth at that point, which is to build the first temple of God. And if he isn't careful, Solomon can fail fairly easily. So what David wants to do is, David's like, man, I don't want my son to fail. I want him to start and finish life on the offensive and finish well. So what he does is he calls all the people, all the nation, all the leaders of the nation of Israel, and says, hey, come on, let's come together, bring Solomon as well. And then he gives them some advice. Because David wants Solomon and the nation to not only start well, but to finish well as well. Calls them all together and gives them two simple words of advice. And that is to know God, and that is to serve God. And if you know God and you serve God, you can live life on the offensive and finish well. So let's break that down together. Let's start by talking about knowing God and why this is important. This is his words. He says this in 1 Chronicles 28:8, in the first part of verse 9. It says, so now, with God as our witness, and in the sight of all of Israel, the Lord's assembly, I give you this charge. Be careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God, so that you may continue to possess this good land and leave it to your children as a permanent inheritance. And Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. David, through the highest of highs in his life and the lowest of lows, knew God. We think about some of the major moments in David's life. You have David being called to be the next king. You have David defeating Goliath. You have David running from Saul. You have David becoming king. You have David having an affair. You have David living in sorrow. You have David eventually having reconciliation and finally becoming, being a rightful king again and doing all these great things. Now he's passing off this position of king to his son. And throughout all of this, David began to know God more. He began to know that God called him into a life with him, know that God was powerful, that God was a safe shelter, that God would convict, that God would reconcile, that God would love, that God would give grace, that God would provide. And he began to know God and all the attributes of God. And as he began to know God, David realized something very important, which is that life wasn't actually about David. Life was about God. And I think that's why David wanted to call all of his people and call Solomon to this position right now and give him this advice. Because they were about to have this massive transition point for all of them. And it would have been really easy for them to say, you know what? Life is about glorifying myself in this new position than it is about glorifying God. David's like, no. That can't be it. You've got to know God. Because if the only way that you are going to live your life glorifying God is if you know how great, how powerful, how gracious, how loving, and how dangerous our God actually is. So you have to know him. And I believe that knowing God is one of the most important things in our lifetime. because it is the basis for everything else that we do. J.I. Packer says it this way. He says, once you become aware that the main business that you are here for is to know God, most of life's problems fall into place of their own accord. Think about Solomon's perspective right now. He's a young guy. He's about to be king. He has no experience. He has no clue what he's doing. He is probably freaking out. He's probably pretty worried. And on top of all of that, he's been given one of the biggest projects in the history of the world, which is to build the first temple of the Lord so that people could come into the presence of God for the very first time. And that temple that he had to build was going to cost $160 trillion in today's money. And I stress about student debt, right? There's a big number right there. He's freaking out. He's worried. Some of us have felt similar to that, though, haven't we? We're in this position, and we don't really know what we're doing. Maybe you're a high school or college freshman. You're going to this new school, and you're like, man, like, I don't know what this is going to do. Like, what do I do? Maybe you're a parent, and you have to digitally, your students are doing digital school, and you have to figure out how to teach a first and second grader from your house every single day, and you're going, I can't do this. Maybe you got a new position at work, or maybe you started serving somewhere new, and you're freaking out and you're worried because you're like, man, I don't know what to do. God calls us all into a position in life. You guys are all in a position in life right now. And the truth is, most of us have no clue what we're doing, right? And that's okay. Because if you know the Lord, everything else is going to fall into place. This is what David says in another section of his life in 2 Samuel. He says this, who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you brought me this far? And then in 22 and 23, it says this, how great you are, O sovereign Lord. There is no one like you. We have never even heard of another God like you. What other nation on earth is like your people Israel? What other nation, O God, have you redeemed from slavery to be your own people? You made a great name for yourself when you redeemed your people from Egypt. You performed awesome miracles and drove out the nations and the gods that stood in their way. David's saying, man, I am nothing, but God, you are everything. And when I read that, I couldn't help but think of a quote that my good friend Andrew Wade, who helps lead at our coastal campus, said a few weeks ago, and I was like, man, that's so good. He was running our soundboard, and somebody comes up to him and is like, man, how do you do all this? That's a lot of buttons. And Andrew Wade looks at him and goes, man, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just pressing buttons and letting God do the rest. And I was like, that's it. That right there is the key to finishing. It's not about knowing what to do. It's about knowing God. Because if we know God, he will help us know what to do. And that's the key for us to finish. And the hard part is we have to know God. Because there's a big difference between knowing who God is and actually knowing God. Maybe the best way I can explain it is from middle school camp a couple years ago. There's this game that everybody was playing on stage. It was a claim to fame game. So, you know, if your neighbor was like a D-list celebrity at some point, you'd go up and you'd be like, hey, I was neighbors with this person. And a bunch of people went, and there was nobody of note at all that was the claim to fame. And finally, there was this little boy. And he's this country little boy. We're in the middle of Tennessee, the hills of Tennessee, and he gets up on stage, and the host is like, hey, what's your claim to fame? He's like, Jason Aldean. I was like, okay, that's a pretty big name. Like, that's, okay, like, let's see how this claim to fame is. So the host goes, all right, what's the claim to fame? How do you know him? And he goes, me and Mama went to a concert one time. And I was like, I don't think this kid knows how this game works. Just because you went to a concert doesn't mean you know Jason Aldean. How much does that apply to faith, right? How many of us say because we go to church, we know God? It's not it. It's not enough. A lot of people say they know God, but there's a big difference between knowing who God is and actually knowing God. A.W. Tozer says this. He says, the low view of God entrained almost universally among Christians is the cause of 100 lesser evils everywhere among us. With our loss of the sense of majesty has come the further loss of religious awe and the consciousness of the divine presence. It is impossible to keep our moral practice sound and our inward attitudes right while our idea of God is erroneous or inadequate. If we would bring back spiritual power to our lives, we must begin to think of God more nearly as he is. Tozer makes it very clear here. If you don't know God, you can't live on the offensive because your moral practices won't be sound and your attitudes won't be right. And if that's the danger of us not truly knowing God, I want us to be on the offensive as a church about knowing God. So how do we do that? How do we apply that to our life? We open up his word. Think about how those words, the Bible shows us who God is and who we are inside of a relationship with God. And the more you read God's word, the more you will begin to know him. There are a bazillion pages, there is a bazillion finger swipes of God trying to speak to you and communicate who he is to you. And that's huge because that shows us that God wants to know us and God's trying to say, like, hey, here I am. Let me share who I am with you. And we have the ability to spend time with him. And you can't know somebody if you don't spend time with somebody. So we got to open up our Bibles to actually know God. And we try to make that easy here for you at The Rock. The app, I couldn't talk more highly of it. The reading plan portion of it is my favorite portion of the entire app because it is makes it so easy to know and to read every single day. Like, it has transformed my Bible reading over the last 5 years that we've had that feature. And I would encourage you, download the app, do the reading plan, and then get on a team so you have people that you can talk about what you read with. It's huge for you. It makes a giant difference in your faith because you'll begin to know God. And I've learned that the more you begin to know God, the more you will recognize that you have to finish life on the offensive because anything less is not worthy of our God. Anything less is not worthy of our God. Because if he is who he is, we have to finish the job that God has given us. So to finish, we need to know him. But also to finish well, we have to serve him. That's where we pick up again back in 1 Chronicles and back with the story of Solomon. It says this, David's talking to Solomon again. He says, worship and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. David's life was centered on serving the Lord. From being a shepherd to playing music to fighting Goliath to being king, David served the Lord. So he really understood what it meant to have a heart for serving. And I love how David says wholeheartedly here. Because if there's anything I've learned from working for my dad and being married to my wife, there is a big, big, big difference between serving and serving wholeheartedly. And I've learned how I respond to them asking me to do something makes a major difference on my life, right? If I have a positive working attitude, life is good. If I say, fine, I'll do it, sure, I'll do it, life's not good. Do any other husbands in here understand that life yet? You sheepishly raise your hand, smart. If you didn't raise your hand, even smarter there. All right. There's a big, big difference there. But it's important because if I'm willing to serve wholeheartedly, that turns it into an opportunity for me being able to serve rather than an obligation of having to serve. And David wanted Solomon to know that serving God isn't an obligation, it's an opportunity. We have to view it that way. Because here's the secret thing about serving. I'm gonna share a secret with you guys. I'm going to talk online real quick. Serving God, sometimes actually really, really hard. I think about our middle school volunteers. It was 105 degrees on Thursday night. Do you think those middle schoolers smelled good? No. I see a couple middle school leaders in here going, no. Think about our co-volunteers when there's a diaper blowout. Do you think that's fun? No. Think about our C3 people who are serving when there's a line of 20 people deep. That is hard. And what's interesting is when you're first starting in serving, you're like, man, this is awesome. You're fired up. You're excited. You're like, bring on all the problems. Bring on the smelly middle schoolers. Bring on the dirty diapers. Bring on the long line. I'm here to serve and make a difference. And all of a sudden, you start doing that job for a while, and you're like, man, this is not fun. This is hard. That happens over time, and you're like, man, it turns into an obligation more and more and more, because it turns into the same old thing over and over and over again. And it's in those moments where it very easily turns into an obligation. When it turns into an obligation, all of a sudden we start to get a negative attitude towards things. And when you are serving with negativity, there's no way you will see it as opportunity. You will never be able to look at it as opportunity if you are negative in your serving. But we were sent to these positions to serve and to make a difference. So we have to look at it as an opportunity. And I know there's a lot of people in here who recently just started serving, and I could not be more thankful for you and how you are serving. And I want to challenge you. Have the mindset to say, you know what, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep focusing on finishing. And those of you who have been serving for a long time, keep going. Don't let it turn into the same old. Look at it with the same opportunity mindset. It's important. We all need to continue to live on the offensive because it opens up the door for opportunity. So how do we have that? The next part of the verse, it's simple. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Solomon was in a position where he was about to be king. He was about to be celebrated. He was about to have this view of him that was very, very high. And he could have very easily at this point started to serve himself. And that's wrong, because like life isn't about glorifying ourselves, it's about glorifying God. Life isn't about serving ourselves, it's about serving God. And just like Solomon, we have been put in a position where we can make a big difference, or we can easily start serving ourselves. You know, when you get that new position at work, or if you get that new serving position, or you start all of a sudden get this new hobby, or you start to get really popular on Instagram, and it's like, oh man, how can I make people notice me more? I like this. It's not about noticing God. We have to make it about noticing God, and then we have to get to work. The next part of the verse says this. So take this seriously. The Lord has chosen you to build a temple as his sanctuary. I love this last sentence. Be strong and do the work. Serving him is going to take time and it's going to take work, but it is worth it. Solomon had to build the temple. Building the temple was going to take a lot of time. It ended up taking 7 years, and it took a lot of work, and it took a lot of money. But it got done, and it changed the world. And when we are serving God, we are increasing our ability to serve people. So we have to be willing to do the work that God has called us to do, because like with Solomon and the temple, there are people depending on our willingness to serve God. You have been called to serve him in some way. Maybe it's to tell your mom about Jesus. Maybe it's to help foster families. Maybe it's start to help at schools. Maybe it's start to serve in a new position. Whatever it may be, God has called you to a position to make a difference. And it may take a long time, and it may take a lot of work to see the results, but at the end it is worth it, because it will help change the world. So be strong and fight through wanting to give up. Fight through the comfortableness. Fight through the willingness to be content. Because it's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to get lazy. It's easy to get impatient when you're waiting. But it's worth it. Because you can make a difference in this world. And in your faith, there are going to be big, big moments where you have to make decisions. And hear me on this. This gen especially. We have to realize that faith is a long game. There's going to be a lot of moments in our lives where we can decide to stop. We can decide, you know what, I want to finish. I want to keep knowing God. I want to keep serving God. And those are important decisions to make. Because since it's a long game, there's a lot of time to play that game. And the scary thing is, if we decide to stop playing, the game is going to keep going. So do you want to finish in the stands, or do you want to finish on the field? It's a decision we have to make each and every single day. Do you want to finish in the stands or do you want to finish on the field? And I can think about my personal life with this. You know, bringing it back to football. And I can promise you that finishing in the field is much better than finishing in the stands because I didn't finish on the field. I don't know if you guys know my story much, but I obviously love football. I mean, I showed offensive line clips in this sermon. But I grew up playing my entire life. I always had goals to play in college and you know, pro football, whatever. And it was just always a dream. It was always a goal. I was always working towards that. And I was a pretty good, not great high school player. And that gave me an opportunity to actually go and play in college. That was really exciting, and the school I was going to, it was filled with opportunity. Actually, it was a smaller school. They didn't have a lot of depth. They didn't have a lot of people on the roster that were kind of in front of me. So, like, I was like, man, like, if I go there, I'm going to have a great chance of getting on the field. I'm going to have a great chance of starting. I'm going to have a great chance of making a difference. It's like, all right, let's go there. And then from the moment I stepped on that field, the moment I stepped on that campus, fall camp, something changed in me. And throughout that entire season, I struggled. I don't know what happened. I dealt with homesickness. I dealt with finding my purpose. I dealt with some mental health things. And throughout the entire season, it was just a battle. And I ended up just being a shell of the player I was in high school. A completely different player than I was in high school. And it was embarrassing. It wasn't what I wanted, but it was just where I was at. And in November, I made the decision to say, you know what? This is my last year playing ball. I'm going to just go into ministry right after this and start doing that. It's like, you know what? Let me get spring ball out there. Let me do spring ball and just make sure this is my final decision. I ended up going through spring ball, and it was much of the same. It's very similar to the fall, and I realized, like, yeah, I'm done. And what every team does at the end of spring ball is you have an exit meeting. The coach kind of goes over what you need to work on that summer and what you need to do to get better for the fall. And I ended up going to this exit meeting, and as I scheduled, I was like, man, this is the last conversation I will ever have with a football coach. This is weird. So I go, and I finally go to the meeting, and I'm nervous. And I'll be honest, guys, I don't remember much from that conversation. But I do remember the last thing a football coach ever said to me. And he said it as nice as he possibly could, but it still hurt. He looked at me and said, Clay, you weren't the player that we thought you were going to be. I don't know what was wrong with you this year, but the player we saw on film was not the player that we got on the field, and you weren't what we were expecting you to be. So I don't know what you need to do this summer to get that right, but you got to improve. And at that point, the conversation was done. I left, and that was the last thing a football coach ever said to me. And it's with that statement, even 8 years later, that it hurts. It cuts deep. It's made all these game balls I've got, all the awards, all the accomplishments, they're tainted. It's because I didn't finish well. I didn't do what I needed to do to finish. I look at that story, and even now, today, 8 years later, every time football season comes around, I have this regret in my gut. But at the same time, I'm thankful for it. Because I know that regret of not finishing well on the football field is going to be exponentially less than the regret I would have with my faith. So I'm saying, you know what? I know how bad that hurts. There's no way that I'm not going to finish well with my faith. I am going to live my entire life on the offensive. I'm going to focus everything I've got on knowing God more and serving Him better so that I can finish well. Because I know that regret hurts. And I don't want that for the end of my life. And I don't want that for yours either. Because God has designed a life for you to know him, to serve him, to make a difference. A life that you could have, you go, man, this life was awesome. Then you get to the end of your life where God looks at you and says, well done, good and faithful servant. And I didn't get that on the football field, but I want that for the end of my life with my faith. And I am going to do everything possible for that. So it all starts with knowing him and serving him. I've got to live on the offensive. I don't want to live with that regret, and I don't want you to either. So we got to live this way. But with finishing well, what we really have to do is start, right? You can't finish if you don't start. So let's start responding today. Maybe you've never known God. Maybe you've never experienced him, and today you're going, man, like, God wants to know me. See, God sent his son Jesus down to earth, down the cross, so that we can have a relationship with him. Maybe today, for the very first time, you're going to go, man, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. And you can do that right there. You see, you can just have that moment with God and say, God, I want to give my life to you. Maybe today you want to get baptized. We can make that happen today. Maybe you didn't bring clothes. We can make it happen today because baptism is a symbol of, hey, my old life is finished and this new life is beginning. If you want to make that decision today, we can make that happen. Come see us in the Connect Corner. Maybe today you've realized, like, I've started on the offensive, but recently I've faded away. Today is the day to start getting back on the offensive. Today is the day to make a decision to have the mindset to finish and finish well. We can do this. This is available for us. Don't go into my situation with the football. I want you to live the life that God designed you to live, and that is to know him and to serve him. So if you guys would do me a favor, go ahead and stand up. We're going to go into a time of response. You need to talk to somebody, we'll be over in the Connect Corner. We have communion up here. We have prayer corner over here. They said if you want to get baptized, we can make that happen as well. Tonight, today is a great time for response. So let's respond today. Pray with me. Jesus, thank you for giving us the ability to know you. Thank you for giving us the ability to serve you. Lord, I pray that you just work in our lives. Lord, that you will move in our lives, that you move in our hearts. Lord, help us to finish well, because our entire lives should be focused on you. So help us know you and help us serve you. Lord, help us have the courage to respond however we need to respond today. Lord, we love you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about how to give to God through the Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.